Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown and JT Holton. Why am I getting funny looks, fellas? What did I just miss? I feel like I missed something.
We are here and we are ready.
Okay.
We are woke. We are woke and alert.
JT, are you okay? Just smoked the biggest bowl of his life, apparently, and can't breathe at the moment.
Are you still smoking those Juuls?
No. Okay, that thing will give you the coronavirus.
As he smokes from a Juul. God dang it.
What? You're like the most interesting combination of
12-year-old.
Like a 14. I'd say 14. 14-year-old and a 35-year-old.
You know what I bought today? I went to the gas station and I bought a Jolly Rancher push-up pop because those things are delicious.
Oh my gosh, you're so...
I am a grown man in a pickup truck
giant
driving
child
down the highway eating.
I was right, Josh. It's 12-year-old. There's no way he's actually a teenager. Come on.
Those things are so good, man. They're so
I did say 14. I would let's meet in the middle and just say 13. He's a giant 13-year-old.
Okay.
Because he's dirty enough mentally to be a 13. You know what I mean? He's too dirty. You know, he's too broken to be a 12-year-old.
You should have seen what I did with the push-up pop when I was stuck in a room.
Oh, yeah,
see what
I'm
I mean?
Sure.
He's 13.
Yeah. Josh, to scare you, did you know that something like 33% of 12-year-olds have already had oral sex? That's like a statistic.
Dude, that is disgusting. Why do you even know that?
Did y'all discuss that at your last NAMBLA meeting, Ken? Why do you even know that?
What the hell?
No, it's actually wrong. Yeah, I don't think it's 33%. I think it's maybe it's like 2 in 10, 1 in 10. I don't remember the exact number.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's just crazy stats.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
By the time a child gets to high school, or middle school, I guess, he's 13. By the time a child's 13, 3 out of every 4 of them have already seen hardcore pornography online. I'm not talking about
That's horrible. You know, this is the left's fault.
Oh, okay.
This is the left's fault. Yeah. You know, the same party who
wait. Time out. Is this the same two people that I listened to on the podcast last week that told me that the left is good and that we all should be balanced and like that?
We never said the left was
that
good.
That was pretty much what you said.
We never said the left
that
was good.
That was pretty much what you said. Yeah.
We never said the left was good.
No.
What I'm saying is the left, the culture, the godless culture is it's disgusting.
Well, trust me, the same culture people do the same thing. I mean,
yeah, the same culture who sexualize everything. They'll be like,
yeah.
They'll also say
you shouldn't degrade women.
That like sexual abuse is different than the other abuse, which it obviously is. But it's like we all inherently know that it's bad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But like one side just won't admit it.
Well, you know, I don't push the left side quite as hard as you do, but I do find it hysterical that our culture is okay with you, a big fine woman, back that thing up. Or
yeah,
you know,
WAP. Where's that new song? That new song that WAP.
WAP.
And yet, back that as came out like 23 years ago.
I know, and those are the people that are like, it was probably like 30 years ago, and that's still like, they're like adults now. That's kind of the point. But still, like, even WAP and that kind of thing, those are the same people that like listen to that kind of music and celebrate women's strength because they can put out a song like that.
Oh, yeah,
are the
yeah.
same ones that then turn around and are really mad because men grabbed a woman's butt at work. And that's not excusing that a man should grab a woman's butt. That's not my point here, because they shouldn't, and that dude should get slapped. But there's a little bit of hypocrisy there. Just a little bit. I'm just saying.
Well, they're the same ones who want to cancel, like, Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, kind of.
Just like, you know,
that is a weird song. Can we say Baby It's Cold Outside is a weird song?
I don't know if I know the
words. I don't find it that weird. I don't find
it. There's one part where she's like, what did you put in this drink? Is like a part of the song.
She's implying how much alcohol did you put in the drink. It's not like, did you roofie me?
Oh, okay. So as long as I don't roofie a girl, and I just try to load her up with a bunch of alcohol.
JT, that's what you did your entire college years.
That is literally how you're married.
Load her up with alcohol. The more the better. And then ask her to marry.
Stop it. My wife, she's an opiate addict.
Okay, actually, that's how Nikki got me. How Nikki got me. I let Nikki take advantage of me, actually.
She was a groupie. You were a rock star, and that's.
I'm just saying.
Josh is the full-on Nickelback experience, man. That's what he is.
What? What does that
mean? Yeah, because it means when people pay to see you, they go, "Hey, I want my Nickelback."
Wow. But
oh my!
I guess we should talk about sports after that comment. Good Lord. Goodness gracious.
Well, I'd like to apologize to everyone who loved last week's episode. By the way, I've gotten more positive feedback from last week's episode than any episode ever. Honest to God.
So what that means is
for
that
all those people,
I should not be
for all those
show.
People, for all those people who had loved last week's episode, we've moved forward. Okay, that ship has sailed. Put it in the archives. Sorry, it's never going to happen again.
Yeah, well, I'm back. You know, I guess I could take another week off and you guys could become like hipster Christian podcast that talks about weird crap that no one cares about except for apparently really crazy 20 people.
Yeah, I don't know if your absence was a factor. It's like me and JT just had this weird spiritual.
I thought I was
mojo.
I thought
going,
for a moment that I was listening.
I don't know how to explain it.
I thought I was listening to that podcast with that long haired dude that was an actor that was really foul. Russell Brand. Yeah, I thought I was on the Russell Brand podcast there for a little while with Josh and
I'll
JT.
Take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
it's
right,
annoying.
Cool.
I felt like the cool youth pastor that will sometimes say shit around the kids. You know? And he has
that's pretty accurate too. That's pretty accurate too. Yeah.
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 I like Russell.
Like, he's a youth pastor, but you know, he's seen Metallica in concert like 3 times.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're a dude, either pause this now and go look at it or make a mental note. Just YouTube Russell Brand porn. He does about a 10-minute little spiel about how porn is terrible. It'll change your life. You're welcome.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. The Russell Brand porn, you have to be a little careful with that because he did do some explicit movies early on.
Yeah. Let me just clarify. He talks about how porn is terrible. And it honestly, fantastic.
Because isn't he completely naked in what was that movie? Saving Silverman? No.
Forgetting
Sarah Marshall. That's the one.
That was Jason Segel. That was the other guy. It was the other guy.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
And I agree. Something like the acting makes no sense. It's just no emotion. The plot line's horrible.
You're such an idiot. You're the worst. We were so good. We were so good last week. That's what it is. We're so good last week. Like we reached our our maturity spiritual peak last week, and we can't top that. It's all downhill. We have to make up for last week.
Like I listened to the entire episode, and I'm like, you know, everything they're saying sounds wonderful, but it's the biggest crock of BS that I've ever heard come out of either one of their mouths right now. Because they're saying all this wonderful, theoretically good stuff. And I'm like, neither one of them believe any of the crap coming out of their mouth right now. Not to the level of actually living any of it. It's
I can believe it. I mean, it's practice.
It's 100% great theology with absolutely zero application in their lives. And I was just like cracking up. I told my wife, I'm like, are you hearing this? Oh, because it was I felt like I was in politically correct church theory class. Like Josh and JT are giving me the politically correct gospel that tells me I'm not supposed to be a Republican or a Democrat because the gospel is good. I'm just supposed to love everybody.
Sometimes
I'm like,
we got to give the fans what they want. Sometimes we got to just give them what they want. We gave Paul what he wanted. We were losing Donahue a little bit, right? We were just losing him, even though he's our friend. in real life. You know, we were you know,
I mean, what did Donahue say? He said he's never heard us this. Did he say sincere?
Did he say sincere?
No, or it was genuine. Sincere. It was
sensible.
Sensible.
Which obviously says it's a load of crap. When has Josh or JT ever said anything sensible that wasn't a load of crap? Like, what?
We are new creations, Kenny. You need to embrace us.
You are new age.
As we are. We are changed.
Josh is basically going to start reading Chicken Soup for the Soul on the show, and that's going to be the rest of this podcast.
That's too mainstream. That's way too mainstream for me. I'm more of a R.C. Sproul guy, you know, a little bit of Spurgeon.
Yeah, okay.
I'm reading Donald Miller's Blue Like Jazz for the 24th time.
Dude, you know, so fun story. Yeah, so I've been to that church in Portland, and I've been to Laurelhurst, and I've been to the Joan of Arc statue because of that book.
It's all been burned down now, so.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
All right. Well,
he's, by the way, like he's, have you followed him in recent years, Donald Miller?
Not recently.
It's weird. So I'm a huge Donald Miller fan. He's a great writer, really good writer. His books are awesome, but, he's like this marketing CEO guy now. So if you follow
I've seen that. He's,
it's kind of weird.
That's what his social media is all about now. He has like business books.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's good. It's just weird.
Why would he get a real job? That's so stupid.
It's kind
of
gay.
Can we talk about making everybody happy and how it's like one of the dumbest things in the world?
No, I've never made anyone happy.
It's not possible to make everybody happy.
But apparently it is, Josh. I mean, like...
Can you move your webcam, by the way? I can just see your beard.
Sorry, bud.
It's weird. There you go. That's better.
The problem with...
Not you, JT. Ken.
Yeah. He wants to see your mouth more, JT. The problem with making everybody happy is, like you said, Josh, you can make some of the people happy all the time. You can make all the people happy some of the time, but you can never make all the people happy all the time. It just doesn't work. And, you know, unless you like, which no, that wouldn't make people happy. I was going to say you could kill Hitler, but I'm afraid like there's still people on the left that'd be mad you killed somebody because, you know.
No. Yeah. As long as like, there's no more reality. So you could like show people like numbers, fat. It doesn't matter. It matters what you believe in.
Hitler already beat me to that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you think he's probably on the island with Tupac and some of those guys.
I don't think he'd enjoy that.
I don't know, man. He might. It might have been more of a show than everyone thought. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know if some of these crazy people believe everything they espouse as much as they believe that they can get rich and live a super amazing life and off of other people's stupidity. Yeah. I mean, because Hitler that hated all the Jews and wanted all the paintings burned and all this kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when they found his mansion, it was filled with Jewish antiquities and, like, there was all these really nice paintings on the wall that had been stolen from the Jews. So at the end of the day, he really just wanted to be rich. And don't get me wrong, he hated people too. But it was far more than some sort of deep theological, those people are really bad. It was more like, I'm just an arrogant a-hole that wants all everybody else's stuff and people to worship me like I'm a god. I mean. If you really get right down to his personal beliefs, you know.
And he killed 6
people. Oh, yeah, yeah. He'd do whatever it took for him to be rich. There's no doubt. And purify his country.
I saw some, I think it might have been a college athlete or a young professional. Some young guy got canceled. There's articles written about it because it had leaked that he went on some trip. Maybe it was a military guy. It was so-and-so. His Instagram was found where he took selfies. He went to some trip in Germany or Belgium, and he took selfies at Hitler's hawk's nest.
Yeah.
And he was smiling in the pictures because he was like, and Hitler's hawk's nest is like gorgeous.
Yeah, super amazing.
And he's taking pictures. And I'm like, who wouldn't want to go to Hitler's hawk's nest?
Like, Hitler's hawk's nest is what the people in Helen, Georgia tried to recreate and really failed at. But that's kind of what they were going for.
Hey, that's a low blow.
You can go to Hitler's hawk's nest?
If you've ever been to Betty's General Store.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Hitler's little general store, in Helen, right? Like,
That's a low blow. Helen's way nicer than
Hitler's is across the street from Betty's.
Ah, yes, and they sell T-shirts.
It's not as popular because of the name.
You're thinking of Hansel's. You're thinking of Hansel and Gretel's.
Oh, okay.
And you, if you go to Hitler's house, you have to. If you take a selfie, you have to frown. Yes. You have to give a thumbs down in your selfie, showing like,
yeah, it would. Be,
I disapprove.
You guys know, like at the end of Band of Brothers, when they finally get to Hitler's.
Never seen.
Is it called the Hawks?
Whoa! Time out. JT's never seen Band of Brothers.
Wait,
you
what?
Think I had HBO in 2004.
Yeah, but it's been replayed on the History Channel. You can buy it on 14 DVD. Other places.
If you think I watch the History Channel, you don't know.
JT, you got to watch Band of Brothers, dude. It's super good.
Oh, it's incredible.
I know what happened.
No, you don't. Won. You don't know what happened.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so incredible.
I saw like a 30-second thing where they showed them discovering the concentration camps, and all I can think of is that's the guy from Office Space.
Oh.
Because I can't see him as not the guy from
Office Space. You watch that, he won't feel like the guy from Office Space. It's kind of like seeing Ross from Friends in it. You think he's...
Ross Geller's in it?
You think he's Ross for like 3 minutes, and then he starts the role that they pulled him for. You're like, yeah, he's totally Ross, and it totally works. It's like 100% accurate, because he's an idiot.
Yeah, a great idiot drill instructor. Yeah.
They filmed part of that here, you should 5 miles from my house, 10 miles from my house, up at Currahee.
Yeah,
where they actually did the actual training at. Really cool.
You know, the worst thing about Hitler, he's a really bad guy. But, like, there's other people in the world, like, literally, whose last name is probably Hitler. And now, like, they're screwed.
Oh, totally screwed. I'm changing my name.
It's like a nice family in, like, Minnesota.
So speaking of which.
Like, a kid's, like, has to be
that. If your name is connected with something like that, do you just automatically change it?
Hello. Try being Josh Brown, the kicker for the Giants who beat his wife a couple of years ago and getting tweets
about
it.
No one remembers.
I do.
That.
I remember that.
I was getting dude. What Will Cain before Will Cain joined Fox when Will Cain was on the First Take thing image? Dude, like he was adding me. I'm like, dude, I'm not that Josh Brown.
Speaking of changing names, the Cleveland Indians have they've erased their Hitlerism. By not being the Indians anymore. Oddly enough,
Cleveland Hitlers is not off the table yet.
That's Cleveland Hitlers. I think they would have been more successful if they just dropped Cleveland and were just the Indians. That would have been much less offensive if we're getting right out
to
it.
Or just change their logo to an actual like Indian, like Apu from The Simpsons.
Ah.
And now we're not these. What do you call somebody from India?
You know, I find it really hilarious that in our efforts to whitewash America, we are doing away with every single slightest bit of Native American influence on our culture that we possibly can, or African, or, you know, Aunt Jemima's not cool, Uncle Ben's not cool, even though they were real people, they weren't slaves, you know, all that's gone now. We completely whitewashed all this stuff in an effort to cleanse America of being racist. Yeah. It's weird.
Well, I didn't realize until tonight, because my brother sent me a picture of it, Aunt Jemima, they still have the name Aunt Jemima. They just took her picture off.
Yeah, she's not black anymore.
Which I think is like super offensive. And did y'all read those articles about her like great-grandson or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read the articles about like, her and how she was super industrious and a smart woman, and she had started off a slave.
Yeah, well, her great grandson, you know, talked about that and was like, it was this huge, amazing thing for our family. Like, and so the fact that they took her picture off of the syrup bottle is the dumbest, stupid. I'm telling you, 5 years ago, I watched Idiocracy for the first time. It was already like 10 years old by the time I watched it. We are there.
Yeah, we're there.
100%. We are there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's like, so people are like, yeah, but some Native Americans find Indian offensive. Okay. So? Stop trying to make everyone happy.
I don't think people are honest with like their intentions with this. One thing I was going to say, I watched a movie the other day called The King of Kong, and it's about a guy setting the record in the video game Donkey Kong or whatever. Yeah, the guy's name is Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of unfortunate names.
Wow.
My gosh. That's terrible. And so, anyway. I think that Cleveland's like, oh, you know what? We're about to sell a whole bunch of merchandise because now everybody's going to go buy Indian stuff because it's a collector's item. And then I heard today the writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer was on Dan Patrick. He said they don't expect to have a new name until 2022.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So that's 2 years of people buying the Cleveland baseball team shirts. Cleveland baseball team shirts. And then again, they're going to have to go back and buy new shirts and new hats. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of that's why teams tweak their jerseys like every other year.
I want to address two different things that I've heard on Twitter. And both are really, in my opinion, maybe I'm being harsh when I say stupid, but they're very naive at the least. So first thing is this, that there, do you know that there's a the Indian National Finals Rodeo is one of the largest rodeos in America, Josh? It happens in Las Vegas. It's a big deal.
No.
It's put on by Native American Indians, and they call their own rodeo the Indian National Finals Rodeo, right?
I was going to make that point, because I don't have a degree in history, but I love reading about history. I've read several books about, for whatever weird reason, I'm obsessed with like the Comanche tribe, because they would like, if you were white, they would like slit your stomach out and like put hot coals in and watch you die and like pee on you as you're dying. They're crazy.
That's over the top.
They were crazy. Yeah. They're fascinating.
The original golden shower.
They were the earliest horseback tribe. But all that to say, when you learn about the Comanche and, I mean, obviously many other tribes, you realize they called themselves Indians. Yeah. So the way they got the name, which I think most of us know, but maybe there are some people that listen that might not know, because, you know, I don't know what they teach them in school these days, but the reason they were called Indians, because Columbus thought he was in India. He's not in India. He's in Americas. He actually thinks he's in India. And that's when he started calling them Indians, and it just caught on. And they called themselves Indians. And it was just,
Were Native American. And
I probably sound like
Indians.
An ignorant white guy.
That's what they called themselves. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also what's weird too, is like, they call themselves Redskins.
Yeah. 100%.
Early on. And I'll try to find that article. I think you sent it to me. It was this this really awesome history about the Washington Redskins and how the Blackfeet tribe loved it, and how the first Redskins team had,
six
or four?
Yes.
Six
Native Americans.
Indians on it. It's pretty cool.
Well, I bet they were terrible.
They couldn't grow beards, I heard.
Yeah. Jim Thorpe was good. Better than that.
You know, Jim Thorpe was a Brave.
Really?
Boston Brave? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I knew that. Yeah.
Like after the Olympics and stuff, he was probably
really good
like 40, 44.
And stuff too, right?
Yeah.
I think he was good at everything.
So that's the first part is Native Americans call themselves Indians, so I don't really get the freak out over it. It's a brand at this point also, so no one's sitting there thinking you're trying to insult Native Americans by calling your team the Cleveland Indians. The only thing I think anyone had any gripe about was maybe their logo was somewhat offensive if you really like look at it through time.
And they got rid of it.
And they did, right. So, at that point, it's like, what do you care?
I kind of like Chief Wahoo, but I'll admit that I'm insensitive.
This comes to my second part of this problem, and that is there are so many people on Twitter who continue to tell me that because I'm not something, I'm not allowed to have an opinion on it. Because I'm not gay, I'm not allowed to have an opinion on gay people. Because I'm not black, I'm not allowed to have an opinion about how black people should act or operate or think. Because I'm not Indian, I don't have a dog in the hunt, so I'm not allowed to determine if this is racist or not racist in this kind of
thing. Well, then if they're not white Christians, they can't have an opinion about, about us listening to Alan Jackson,
And so
in a 75 Johnson electric choke.
And so I find this
a young boy with two hands on the wheel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I find this idea that we can't think of something without being it. That's like the opposite of evolution. You know what I mean? Like at this point, The reason human beings are not animals in the sense of whales and dolphins and chimpanzees, what separates us from animals is our ability to empathetically put ourselves in a different position and think through, if I were in that position, I bet that thing would eat me if I walked there, so I'm not going to walk there. It's kind of dumb. Therefore, empathy or the ability to think ahead or put ourselves in other situations that we're not actually in is what separates us from animals. Yet people continue to tell me that I am not capable of empathy because I don't have black skin or red skin or I'm not gay or all these other things. That's not...
That one's debatable.
That I'm not gay? Or which part? Okay. This is not John you're talking to. come on.
Hey.
I'm just saying a good way to defeat that, like do some gay stuff John's and come back gay. And be like, John's as I was gay. Saying.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's not that...
I don't think John's gay.
I think that's... I don't think John's gay either. I think he's just like super picky about women or timid. I'm not sure which. But I don't think he's timid. I think he's just super picky.
I don't think he's timid.
He's a 35-year-old single male in Atlanta with a mustache. Of course he's not gay. He's not gay. John's... Quit picking on John.
Wow. So, but again, like this idea that we can't have empathy for other people and reasonably say, well, do I find it offensive when somebody calls me, like if there was a team called the Atlanta Crackers, you know, if a team like that ever existed, would I be offended by that team? And I think back and, you know, I really don't think I would ever be offended by a team called the Atlanta Crackers. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, well, how much do you let things bother you? You know, like. I find a lot of times the people that are uptight about a lot of these things aren't sports fans.
They're also not Indians.
You know?
I don't know.
That and, yeah. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, yeah. To me, like, I don't... Honestly, I'd be, like, if the Braves changed the name, which they came out tonight, and we're like, hey, we're committed to the name. Because that was everybody's next question. Well, like, who's next? The Braves, the Chiefs, the Blackhawks, you know, who are the Giants? Because that's offensive people with a pituitary gland disorder like Andre the Giant. But, like, if the Braves changed their name, I'd be aggravated because I'd be like, you caved, and now I got to go buy new stuff.
Because I don't care like, that it's an Indian.
But my life doesn't change, yeah. Like it's not, okay, good, the Indians changed their name. Now racism is over.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody's happy. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, if is you it the best name in the world?
If you didn't
like,
tweet,
no.
If
but,
you didn't tweet about how you were gonna be cool if the Braves changed their name, if you didn't tweet about that, you are... I think are racist this week.
Oh man, I am so tired of people trying to tell me that we need to be the Atlanta Hammers. You know what?
I love the Atlanta Hammers.
I don't.
The Atlanta Hammers, is that a homage?
I'm joking.
Is that
because Home Depot was founded from?
No, I think it's a homage to like John Henry driving the nail, you know, on the railroad. You know, that's pretty racist.
I think the I'm reading this book about Hank Aaron, and we all know like Hammer and Hank. But did you know that? I think it was Sandy Koufax gave him the nickname Bad Henry, and that's a way cooler
nickname.
That is
a way cooler nickname. I like that even better.
The Atlanta Bad Henrys would be pretty cool.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. So I think I saw Brian Chandler, the GM of the Braves, tweet this, that he doesn't think it's going to happen, the name change. I think it's totally going to happen. I think it's totally going to happen within the year. I think it's totally going to happen.
You think the Atlanta Braves are going to change their name?
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't think they will.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, they just came out today and said we're keeping it, so.
I don't care.
I think the fact that they're sponsored by Harris Cherokee Casino probably.
You can't stop the machine. It doesn't matter. You cannot stop the voices. It's going to I mean, of course, like a year or two ago, like the Indians probably said they're not going to change their name. And they just changed their name.
Here's
what will
happen. They'll probably leave it up to a vote. And the vote will probably lean in favor of keeping the name. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, they're going to find a bunch of ballots that say, hey, we should change the name.
True.
They're going to find those magically in some dumpster outside of a Hardee's.
In Fulton County.
By the time you wake up the next morning, it will.
In Fulton County, for sure. Yeah, 100%.
Here's the deal. And you know, like, we could argue about this for probably 2 hours. And I know Donahue doesn't care. I know JT doesn't care. I care. Like, I care because of the reasoning. Assuming they change it, I think they're going to change it. If they change it, if and when they change it, I'm out. Not because they changed their name. It's not like, you know, they changed their name or they just moved cities, you know, like, or they changed unis. If they changed their name because of these reasons, that's so insanely stupid, so dumb. I'm out.
Yeah.
And we're already rooting for clothes. It's not like, you know, there's not like, other than Freddie Freeman, there's not like long-term deals anymore. It's 1-2 year deals. I mean, who cares? I'm already not that emotionally invested, Josh, because of the way baseball
is. They did sign Ronald Acuña and Ozzy Albies to 8-year deals. I'm just saying.
Whatever. That's unusual. Those are outliers. What I'm saying is, it's rent a team. You're rooting for clothes. Also, move your webcam, Ken. What are you doing? I can just see your phone. Can you not see yourself?
Josh, when you look on the left-hand side of your screen, it shows you full screen, dude. So you can see all of the extra picture, whereas the two people on the other side are, like, stacked on top of each other.
Here's something neat. I didn't know this till I read this in the book today. That, of course, we all know Hank Aaron was chasing Babe Ruth, and, you know, we all heard he had to deal with, like, racism and stuff, and people didn't like it. I didn't know it was this deep. Like, there was death threats, and, like, he had to have security follow his daughter around in college. Like, there were nights he slept at the stadium. Like, there was even, like, a man in a red jacket is going to shoot you in the third inning. Like, it was, like, almost like the Naked Gun, where they're like, we're going to kill the queen at the game, you know? Those kind of things. And, like, it was that big. Secondly, Atlanta that season, even though Hank Aaron was going to pass Babe Ruth, throughout all of 1973, they averaged, like, 5,000 people a game. Like, it was terrible. Like, he'd go on the road and get cheered, like, sell out tickets everywhere. He'd go to San Francisco, go to Chicago. So, but Atlanta Fulton County Stadium was desolate. Like, nobody cared. And then the last game of the year, he needs a home run to tie Babe Ruth. Just once. Last game of the year. They sold 44,000 tickets that game. The place was packed. Hank Aaron had 3 singles. No home runs. And his last at-bat was in the 8th inning. So he goes out in the 9th, takes outfield, and 44,000 people stand up and applaud him. And it stayed that for 5-10 minutes, standing ovation. Even though he failed, and they'd have to wait months and months and months for him to break the record, you know, next year. And so I thought that was so cool that they finally came around to let people know, hey, the idiots out there, that's not us. You know, that there are good people in the world, and we are behind you, Hank Aaron. We're coming out to support you. Even though you didn't get the record, we all came here, bought a ticket to see you get the record today. We're going to cheer for you anyway because you're our guy. And that made me think, like, you know, the Indians changed their name. There's still going to be knuckleheads out there. And there's still going to be a lot of good people out there, too. Regardless of what the Indians change their name or the Redskins change their name or whoever's next in line to change their name. Like, are there going to be bad people in the world? Yes. Are there going to be good people in the world? Also, yes. That's still going to remain the same.
Yeah.
It's not going to change anything other than, you know, it's paint.
What it changes.
You're going to paint over a name, paint something.
What it changes for me has nothing to do with the team. Okay. What it changes for me is it's another step in a culture that says that we can bully people into being forced to submit to our radical ideas, you know, like, specifically it creates more and more of a culture where my children will have to grow up in a world where people can be offended by something they say and that be a crime, basically. I mean, because that's really what they're basically making this out to be, is that it's borderline criminal for them to be the Cleveland Indians. And when I say criminal, not like legally criminal, but in the sense of, well, I mean, literally they're implying that it's a racist, and that's one of the worst things in the world that you can possibly be, is an actual racist, you know? So it's implying that this name, devoid of context, devoid of history, devoid of everything related around it, was just inherently racist, and no one in Cleveland, I mean, so this is the narrative it automatically creates. Everyone in Cleveland that supported the Indians was a racist. I mean, that's the mild narrative that it backs up. And that, I could care less about the name. It's the precedent of how they get it changed and the cultural significance of that, not the actual name itself. Because like you said, JT, the name itself is no skin off my back one way or the other.
Sure,
it's just the...
I mean, we'll eventually adjust to any name and it'll become normal.
It's just like, a process.
Has it happened before? Has a team changed their name from anything to something else? And like, think of a baseball team or a football team or whatever. Mm-hmm. Have they changed their name, and fans eventually just like, yeah, whatever, cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Washington Bullets are the Washington Wizards, and like, it seems normal now. Like, you know, the names do change. I mean, the Devil Rays and the Rays.
Okay.
I mean, you don't even notice it anymore, you know? What I hate is the no name, like Washington Football Team. Like, oh, that just if you're going to change the name, have something ready.
I think what Ken's getting at is the reason it's changed.
Oh, no, I get it. I'm just telling you what annoys me is that I hate when people just don't have a name.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to be the Washington Football Team.
Okay. Like, so since we're in this discussion, let's have some fun with it. What are names of teams? What are some teams that should change their names? Because their names suck.
For me, in an effort to continue to make up for being mature last week, I would just like to continue down this road and, you know, point out that any team who names themselves after a group of people is by definition cultural appropriation. Therefore, for me, the Cowboys is very offensive.
Vikings, oh, just totally very offensive.
Vikings.
If you learn about Cowboys, I mean, they were terrible. They would rob you and kill you and take your women. They were horrible.
Yeah.
You know? Horrible people.
What about the Raiders? Yeah, I know. The Raiders could be even worse. Oh, my gosh.
The Pirates.
Wait, Josh, you've seen the actual Dallas Cowboys, right? Because they've done pretty much most of that, too.
That's actually true. That's pretty accurate there, JT.
Hey.
They nailed it. Yeah.
The Pirates.
Why is it that Cowboys kind of sounds cool, but really they were probably should be called Horse Boys, but Horse Boys just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, I never thought they're the Bronies.
Hey, JT, wasn't your granny like a quarter pirate?
No, she was Pomeranian. Oh. And my grandfather,
isn't that a poodle?
On my mom's side is Presbyterian. Okay. So I'm a mix. Yes.
Josh, while you're at it, the Red Sox. That's offensive now because Curt Schilling got blood on his sock. That officially makes him a Red Sock. Curt Schilling's offensive.
And he's a jerk.
Therefore, Red Sox offensive.
I found out I had to Google. We were talking in the chat about I didn't know what the Knickerbocker was. Apparently, Washington Irving's History of New York, they use the term Knickerbocker to describe the first settlers in New York, the Dutch that came over and founded New Amsterdam.
Careful now.
And that was a nickname for them.
Can't use that kind of language on this podcast, JT.
So New York Knicks. I didn't know what Knicks were. I thought they were pants. I was like, this is stupid. Name a team after pants. But turns out there's a historic
Showtime TV show Knickers. Called that was about like 1800s, early 1900s medicine. And it was called, they had the Knickerbocker, it was like the Knickerbocker, I guess, hospital was what it was called, you know? And it's kind of really interesting. I think it's made up, but it was about a New York hospital, basically, around the turn of the century.
Hey, Mr. Knickerbocker boppity bop, I like the way that you boppity bop.
All right.
That was from Barney.
Okay, so anyway, wow. Some teams that have stupid names, the L.A. Lakers, stupid name. I realize, JT, you informed me that they were once the Minneapolis Lakers, where it makes much more sense. Yes. That makes perfect sense. The Minnesota Lakers, Minneapolis Lakers makes a ton of sense.
Land of a Thousand Lakes.
Right, yes. Right.
I don't know what a Laker is. Is that just somebody that like enjoys going to the
lake? I guess, yeah. Los Angeles Lakers, although kind of dumb.
No lakes. Kind of dumb. No lakes. Yeah. Utah Jazz is that way. They were originally the New Orleans Jazz. Makes a lot of sense. Utah Jazz doesn't make as much
sense. Those Mormons can really play you some jazz, you know?
But that's what, why would they change the name? So the Houston Oilers left to become the Tennessee Titans. Yep. And for 1 year, they were the Tennessee
Oilers. I remember
that,
yeah.
For 1 year. And then they're like, wait, that makes no sense. We don't have oil in Nashville. We got to change the name. And there was something written about Nashville. There's some tie-in with Greek mythology to that. And so the Titans. I hate names that are just, what's the word? When you have starts with the same letter? Alliterative.
Alliterative, yes.
Alliterative.
Alliterative. It's hard for me to say.
Alliterative.
Literative, like Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars. Those just sound, it's just like, you just put something there because it's, you know, has the same
sound sexy. Yeah.
Yeah. But But at least they had the foresight to change the name because it didn't make sense. Utah Jazz, Los Angeles Lakers. I don't know.
They should have gone with like Tennessee Titties. That would have been fantastic. The Tennessee Titties. Like, who would not buy that shirt? You know what I'm saying? Like, you would have merchandise sales through the roof. Like, and then when you got Derrick Henry, he could have been double D. You know, like, you could. There's a lot you could have played with there.
Well, could have worked. A lot to play with.
We were really.
You guys are immature. you guys, last week, you guys are talking about the gospel, and now you guys are being immature. By the way, they should call them the Titties.
Yeah. just say it.
Okay. One I've always figured. Okay, the Toronto Raptors. Is there like a big archaeological dig or something? Like, what's the tie-in? Did an 8-year-old in 1993 come up with it after seeing Jurassic Park and just thought it was badass? So
probably.
Like, call them the Raptors.
Probably.
It sounds like a little, that's a team your kid plays for.
Yes, exactly. It's like the Supersonics. I know a lot of people love.
Jimmy got the Raptors.
I know a lot of people love the Seattle Supersonics as a team back in the day and everything, but the name Supersonics, that's a little league kid's team name. You know, that's not a pro team name.
Like Cliff, my son, is playing basketball, and his team is the Cobras.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's not even just... Call yourselves the Lakers
the Cobras. Cobras is better than the Jets.
That's true. When you're a Jet,
like, the actual team is better than the Jets, but also the name is better than the Jets, too. I'm just saying. The Cobra Kai's. Have you watched Cobra Kai?
Yes. Oh,
I heard it's good. I haven't seen it yet.
Holy cow.
It's pretty good.
You'll chew right through it.
It's not as good as Band of Brothers, but it's pretty good.
Is it? Okay.
It's very similar.
Josh, Band of Brothers, The Pacific, or John Adams, best series?
Wow, that's a really good question. Because honestly, John Adams is really strong. It's really good.
John Adams is incredible.
For me, it's Band of Brothers. But maybe that's because I saw Band of Brothers first, and I've seen it more times. I watch Band of Brothers about once a year.
Yeah, I do too. Or I used to. I haven't in the past couple of years, but I used to watch it almost every year.
We should all watch Band of Brothers together.
No, I don't feel like crying in front of you, dude. I squall like a little baby when I watch that movie.
Buddy, come on. Come on.
Yeah. It's like watching Saving Private Ryan, and you get to that end part where he's standing there looking down at the grave, and he's like, Tell me I'm a good man and that I lived a good life and basically that I deserved these guys dying for me and that kind of thing, you know? Well, I feel like that the entire time I watch Band of Brothers. Like, I just sit there and I just cry over and over and over and over again. Like, and also I sit there and I go, this bunch of guys right here would never care even the slightest what a baseball team's name was. like they wouldn't be offended in the least. Like, they didn't go over there and die so that you could figure out whether it be offended to be called a...
They'd be offended that people were offended, you know, you know what I mean?
Right.
JT, do you like Saving Private Ryan?
They also that made black people play on separate teams back then. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it once.
Do you like that movie?
It was good. Yeah, it was all right. It was good.
Do you like war movies and stuff? Are you into that kind of?
1917 was cool. I saw that one. That was really cool. The way it was shot was really
It was. I haven't seen it, but I heard it was incredible.
Dude, the camera work on it is.
World War One?
Did you watch the one? Oh, shoot. The one that was about the beach where the guys are at and like the. Oh, man. What was the name of that movie? It's based on a true story. The British
Baywatch.
The British troops get stuck on the island.
Dunkirk.
Yes, Dunkirk.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I heard it was really good too. So,
favorite war movie of all time is Glory.
That's a good one.
Matthew Broderick,
Morgan
Freeman, Denzel.
I watched that last Christmas with my father-in-law. Yeah. True story. Yeah,
it's a good underrated Christmas.
My favorite of all
Denzel
time.
Denzel doing the little song is so good about Glory. Yeah,
The Great Escape is my favorite.
That's a good one. But Great Escape's Is that a war movie?
It's long.
Is it really a war movie?
It's kind of not. Yeah. There's no like shooting and killing. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's not really.
I mean, it is. I love the movie. Don't get me wrong.
I gotta tell you, my favorite war movie though is Moneyball.
It's about war. It's nice, JT. I like it, JT. Speaking of Moneyball,
mine's Wolf of Wall Street.
The Mets hired a GM.
Wins above replacement. Josh,
was it Jared Porter. Jared Porter.
Porter?
Yes. The Mets hired a GM.
Assistant GM from Arizona. Yeah.
Apparently pretty smart guy.
Smart enough to leave the Diamondbacks.
That's true.
Is he smarter than we are?
That's true. He is, because he's getting paid millions to actually run a baseball team, while we're getting paid nothing to talk about him running a baseball team.
That is not true. That
I made $100
last year. I guarantee you he could not carry his weight on this podcast.
Well, that's because podcasts aren't good for carrying weight. I'm just saying.
Let him come at me with knowledge, with baseball knowledge. He couldn't.
Josh, is our podcast better than most of the really big name podcasts? We just don't have the notoriety and the branding and the other stuff. Are we better than Talking Jakes and the Weirdos? 12
times better than Barstool, the Keith Law Show.
Well, I am biased because, you know, I mean, I'm on the podcast and everything. So, I mean, take this with a grain of salt, but yeah. Yeah.
My fantasy football guys love Barstool. I have not. So that's the reason I'm,
well, I haven't listened to too much Barstool. I haven't listened to, which I guess the Talking Jake is Barstool.
No, Barstool? He's with John Boy.
That's John Boy.
Okay, so I haven't listened to those guys. I haven't listened to too much Barstool. Oddly enough, I've only listened to like the really nerdy shit, like
Ben Lindbergh. Yeah, wild. Right. Okay,
Ben Lindbergh. Yeah.
I love Effectively Wild because they sound like they're apologizing to you. That you even have to listen.
The last time
now that you're going to join us on this show,
I actually
weird.
I listened to them like religiously. Honestly, the last time I listened to that Goober, I think it was two summers ago, and some big fight had happened. I forget who it was. It was two teams. I don't even know who got into the fight. It was all over like baseball media for like 2 days. It was a big deal, and the way they talked about it, he literally said it was assault. He literally said that in this context, whatever this pitcher was, he beamed a batter, basically, right? He said it was assault. That's the last time I listened to Effectively Wild.
I listened to them. The last time I listened to them was during the playoffs, and they talked about why they kind of like Clayton Kershaw, and quote, because he seems like a nice guy. He's not all aggro like some other baseball players, end quote. Aggro.
What does that even mean? Wait, what does aggro mean?
It means aggressive, like manly and macho. Yeah.
I can't take that.
They like that he's a beta.
That's why this podcast exists. We need to eradicate. Yeah. We need to eradicate that kind of stuff.
Like, it's terrible. Like, you don't know any of these. Hey, you don't know any of these guys. Clayton Kershaw, all I know about him, like, he seems like a very nice dude, gives a lot to charity and like adopting kids in Africa.
Yeah.
Could be a total butthole. I've got no idea because I don't know him and I don't know any of these guys.
Oh my gosh.
Billy Wagner looks like the biggest aggro guy you'd ever see on the mound. Like, just, you know what I mean? He looks like a mean SOB. He's like the softest, like, kitty cat guy I've heard. You know,
I've heard that too. Yeah.
Stop judging people just because you got shoved in lockers
enough,
in high school, dork.
Oddly enough, Lenny Dykstra, exactly the way he looks.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. There are the exceptions. Yeah. Sometimes you don't have to read the book. You can just look at the cover and know exactly what it's about.
This reminds me of Chris Rock's newest Netflix special. It's actually okay. It starts off strong and then it gets a little weak.
Tambourine.
But he talks about bullies. Is it called Tambourine?
Tambourine, I think it was his last one,
Okay. He has a bit talking about bullies. It was fantastic. And just talks about how dropping his little girls off at school and there's, you know, anti-bully classes. He's like, this is terrible for kids. We need bullies. You know, we need bullies are good. We need them to make us tough. And I feel like some of these guys never got bullied before. Yeah.
Going back to podcasts, I were ranking our podcast quality, I would say.
Oh, quality?
Well, I'm just saying like content. Content quality, not necessarily like our production value. I would say that we are better than Dan Le Batard, but we are far worse than the Fantasy Footballers. I'm just saying. Like, the Fantasy Footballers are super good. Dan Le Batard's kind of...
I listen to theology podcasts mainly, so
I've never been on Le Batard. I've never been a guy for Le Batard. I mean, I think he's good. I'm a Dan Patrick listener. That's my guy. I love Dan Patrick.
I think we're as good as Dan Patrick content-wise, except he gets, like, super, like, really high-end guests.
I wish. I have dreams all the time that he's invited me to be a Danette, and I just get to hang up there.
Like, I love like Dan Patrick's show. Don't get me wrong at all here with this, but like the quality of that show's just okay. I mean, like, it's Dan talking for 4 hours, and at this point, it's just the personality that people buy into more than the show.
Yeah, you know? There's a lot of it's kind of almost Seinfeld-y.
Yeah, there's a lot
of inside jokes that you got to listen all the time, and if you only see one episode of Seinfeld, you're kind of not sure about the show.
We don't have any inside jokes on this show, for sure. Definitely not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are definitely the same way. But if you've seen 45 episodes of Seinfeld, it's a lot more funny to you. The Office was the same way. Like, people do, you know, you got to watch more than one to really
The Office is much better the second or third time through it. Like, it's much better.
Right. Because pretty much all the humor has to do with who says what because of the characters in the show. It's kind of how Dan Patrick's show is. The one, I've told you guys about this, Can You Hate the Name, but Starkville with Doug Glanville and Jason Stark is fantastic. Like they had one last week. They always have trivia. Last week they had Dick Vitale on. He was talking about Tampa Bay Rays because he's from Tampa. He's a big season ticket holder. And then they did they always have somebody, one of the listeners, call in and give a trivia question. It was like, name the four Hall of Fame baseball players that also played collegiate basketball.
Jason Stark. You
know, I gotta be honest. This is where I need to swallow my pride sometimes, because I'm really bad about if I see a voice or a thought leader or a media member say some insanely dumb stuff, I have a really hard time opening back up to them. I just need to get over that myself. It's a personality defect. Doug Glanville has said some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen in my entire life.
He does say
when the whole okay symbol thing happened, he died on that hill. He would not shut up. He got on TV. He wrote articles about it.
Yeah, he's
about the
that's not the only thing he's jumped on, but I'm not a big Doug Glanville fan, but yeah.
But I'm sure on the show he's great. I'm sure he's a great guy, but just he said some really dumb.
Have you ever listened to Clay Travis's actual show Outkick? I really haven't. I've listened to Clay's excerpts on Twitter, his morning show? Is it actually pretty good?
So it depends. It depends. It's very. The thing about his show that I can't listen to every day. It's really good, but he reacts to everything, right? So anything happens in culture, he's
basically
reacts to
a react streamer. Yeah, for sure. Right.
Yeah, and he's good at it, right? And I agree with most of his viewpoints, honestly. But he's always reacting, and sometimes I just want to escape from that.
Yeah, sure.
Just as a human being, honestly, I want to listen to my theology podcast, and I don't want to look at my Twitter timeline.
It's a recap of my Twitter timeline. It covers if there's a story going on, have the guy on that covers it and ask him some questions. Don't just react to everything. Just say, hey, we got a guy coming on that covers it. He'll be on in 20 minutes and we'll ask him about it and see what he knows. Dan Patrick does a good job of doing that. He had the Cleveland newspaper guy on today to say, hey, okay, well, what's behind them changing their name? You know, talk about
Dan's a react show too, for the most part. People are listening to hear Dan's reaction more than Dan's interview of the other guy. Most people are listening to hear what Dan's going to say about it.
Yeah, but Dan doesn't do a ton of culture stuff. He's reacting to the Eagles beating the Saints.
Yeah, yeah, but it's still a react show.
He keeps it between the lines. Yeah, he keeps it between the lines most.
And you know what's funny is the bit I've listened to Clay Travis keeps it more between the lines than most people would ever give him credit for. It's just that between the lines has become so blurred with outside the lines that he talks about the whole outside effect on what's happening between the lines, you know. But
he's a liberal dude.
Yeah,
What really lit his fire was 3 years ago. He gets canceled, air quotes canceled here. He's on CNN as a kind of a thought leader voice guy. He's on CNN, and he's asked a question. The CNN chick was like, what do you believe in, Clay? And he's like, the only thing I believe in this country is the First Amendment and boobs.
They've never let me down.
And they were like,
the two things that have never let me down, the First Amendment and boobs. Yeah.
And they clutched
their pearls so tight.
Yeah.
And the reaction they had, that's when he realized, oh my gosh, there's something here. And he just leaned into it.
Yeah.
All day, every day. But I will say this. His interviews are really good. He has really good conversations.
Yeah.
For example,
he does.
I encourage everyone listening, especially if you are a content creator or if you're a young entrepreneur, or if you're just interested in pursuing like a new career or whatever, listen to his interview he did with Megyn Kelly about a month ago. It's about an hour and a half. Megyn Kelly, dude, her story, how she just worked her way into what she's become, it's pretty awesome. She's so smart. I mean, she left a huge law firm. She was making like $300,000 a year kind of deal. She leaves making just crap money, going into like the bottom of the totem pole to TV, and just talks about that and culture. And I mean, it's really good. So check that out.
Yeah, I have downgraded Megyn Kelly. And the reason for this is that on Dave Rubin's show, she said she had never seen The NeverEnding Story. And at that point, you're just downgraded for me from then on. So it's just like, you know, it's just a mark against her. I'm just saying. Yeah.
I've seen it once. I've never that. I don't like
I was
long
a kid.
Movies,
it's been a minute.
Let alone one that never ends. That sounds like
I hate
quite
you, JT.
A commitment to me.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when the horse died, though. That was cool.
Wait, isn't that legend?
I listen to Paul Feinbaum every day. I think he's good because it's, I like the sports that I like, and that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear ESPN go on for 30 minutes about the New York Knicks needing a head coach or something like that. I want to know what's in my backyard,
right?
And listen to what affects me and what will be on my TV.
Very briefly, you know, like very briefly, going back to Clay for just a second. One thing Clay's really good at is bringing on people he disagrees with and letting them talk. Like, him and Peter King hate each other, but he's had Peter King on the show multiple times to actually, like, argue his points and different things, and Clay lets people talk. Like, he doesn't cut them off. He doesn't run over the top of them. Now, he may beat them down with facts when it's his turn to talk, but he lets people articulate their viewpoint, whether he agrees with it or not, and I think that's
pretty rare. He doesn't go Bill O'Reilly
right,
on them.
No,
to
right,
piggyback,
or overwhelm them.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, the conversation he has with Megyn Kelly, I'm telling you, it's so good. I think so many people, probably rightfully so, just think of Megyn Kelly as this right wing, just like, you know, talking head. And I mean, she's not. I mean, she talks about that. She talks about, I mean, her and Trump got into it. Remember that? Trump calls her out, and she doesn't back down. And like,
is she the one that Trump said was perioding?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
I mean, he was brutal. What? Yeah, it was bad. It was very,
he had
very,
no mercy.
Very bad.
Yeah,
but,
no mercy.
No mercy at all. But
she,
I mean, she talks
about
that.
Right.
Yeah.
But she also talked about how
she about that.
Doesn't hold a grudge against him either, and she can cover the news without being personally offended by him, you know, and that kind of thing, which I was like, hey, you're a real news reporter. Good job. You know, like, that's actually good.
I mean, there's no way she can't be offended. But like,
she was saying,
I'm not gonna let it.
You can be offended in the moment, you know, and then get over it. You know, like Josh has offended me so many times that it's not even funny. And like, I'm not still offended at Josh. I was just offended at him at that moment. You know, just saying. Hey, Josh. Speaking of kind of like pigeonholing people like Megyn Kelly based off of who they are, you were making a really good point about this weekend, and that was that you saw some comments on the old Twitters from Georgia Southern talking about App State. And I wanted you to dive into this just a little bit, because I do think we have a tendency to pigeonhole people based off of presumptions.
There's some material here.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So I laugh hysterically when I see these tweets. So, for y'all that don't know, there might be some new listeners who think I'm a Boone native. I'm not a Boone native. I'm a Georgia native. I was born and raised in Georgia. We moved to Boone 3 years ago, and we are getting the hell out of here, like, I don't know, like this weekend. Because they canceled Santa here, baby. We're coming back to Georgia. Anyways, so I live and work in Boone. I'm very involved. I have been in radio and all that stuff. So I have a pretty good idea of Boone and, I mean, App State and all that stuff. I've spoken at App State. So I get on Twitter during these Georgia Southern App State games, and I see these Georgia Southern fans who I don't hate. I did up until COVID. I did adopt App State kind of as my little home team, because I live here. It's a small town. We carried them on the radio at our stations I work at, and I've got friends that go there. Up until recently, when they found out that I like Trump. Anyways, So I get on Twitter and I see these Georgia Southern fans talking about beating App. And it's all like, you know, let's beat those Boone rednecks. And I'm like, y'all, there are no rednecks here. I wish there were rednecks here. Please take me with you. There's no rednecks. The people you're calling rednecks are gluten-free, like, Marxists who think Trump is literally Hitler. You need a different angle. You need to, like... You need a different. There's so much other material to make fun of them. They're not rednecks, and it's just, it makes me laugh because they actually are rednecks, I mean that affectionately. Like, I love rednecks. After living here in Wokeville, like, I'm like, give me some
Georgia
rednecks,
Southern,
you know?
Is the most redneck school you can go to in the state
it's
of Georgia.
It's the most redneck fan base town ever. You
I
know?
Can
Stop
tell you
calling
this from
Boone rednecks.
From a college football rivalry standpoint. Now, Georgia Southern fans will tell you. Some will say Georgia State's their biggest rival. Some will say it's App State, but. If you go to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and walk around the campus, and then you go to Columbus, Ohio, and walk around the campus, yeah, they may hate each other, but those people look an awful lot alike. This guy's just wearing a Michigan hoodie, and this guy's wearing an Ohio State hoodie. But they're kind of the same person, you know? If you go to Auburn, and you go to Tuscaloosa, it's the same kid with the same haircut, just wearing a different polo. If you go to Statesboro, and then you go to Boone, and you walk around both those campuses, as I've been to both.
It ain't the same, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! It's like being on Neptune and being on Mars. Like, it's two different places.
Boone is a
mini.
They
are diametrically opposed.
Yeah, and Boone 3 years ago, that was attractive to me. I was like, yeah, give me a little liberal town where I can go to a brewery on a Sunday, right? Compared to a little Georgia town when everything's closed on the Lord's Day, right? Give me that. Give me that culture. And now I am saying, screw that culture. I'm out. Like, give me Santa. Give me no mask, walking inside of Walmart, you know what I mean? Like, give me the South again and chicken and sweet tea.
Boone, we went to Boone, and we were in there, you know, there was a game going on. Not just a game, but conference championship game. Uh-huh. And the coffee house is packed. You know, they're playing. There's no way Georgia Southern's playing for a conference championship. And across the street, the little ethically sourced coffee bean shop is packed with a bunch of purple-headed kids with nose piercings.
He's right.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. Listen. They ride a yellow school bus to the stadium still in Statesboro because that's how they had to start because they couldn't afford a bus. Georgia Southern's motto is get after their ass. That's what that stands for. It's painted on their stadium.
I'm in. I might convert. After I move back, I might convert. I'll pray about it. Yeah.
Boone, App State's motto would be like treat them fairly. That's their motto.
Do you know that to a 10...
Spread love, not germs.
To a 10, yes. Georgia Southern...
Coexist would be written on their...
I don't mean this insultingly at all, but to a 10 Georgia Southern, a girl must weigh above 175 pounds. Like, it's just... Matter of fact, like,
I'm in on that.
And I'm not saying that it's awesome. A bad thing. I don't say that insultingly.
That's great.
Like, you just cannot walk around Georgia Southern campus without... Like, that's where the big girls go. That's where they go to get it done.
Hey! My sister went to Georgia Southern. You're trying to say.
I'm just saying. You heard what I said. The truth is out.
I know a guy who got arrested his first night in state.
Was that you?
That's the guy town that knows.
I'm just curious.
They're going to arrest me. But no, it's pickup trucks. It is skull rings.
Oh yeah.
It is boots, jeans. There, the greatest export is Cole Swindell.
Also, Georgia Southern, there's two kinds of people that go there. There are people that go for one semester and there are people that graduate. And that's about all that there is. Like, you either flunk out after one semester or you graduate.
It is very all or nothing down there.
100%. Speaking of college fun and culture, JT, I think it's important that we talk about how Dan Mullen has gone into Florida, and he's really got these guys sold out. I mean, they put their heart and soul into this program, and they're just really, you know, they're not much for loafers. They really get after it, and they really throw everything they can into it. He's done a good job there in Florida.
Yeah, he's really brought a new balance to the team that is nice to see. Nice to see them.
My goodness.
That was, listen, wow. I didn't see it. First, I'm watching the game, and I see the LSU guy get tackled. And I'm like, oh, man, he's like 5 yards short. Crap, they're going to punt to Florida. It's 1:50 left. We know how this ends. Florida's going to get the ball. They got a great kicker. They're going to win the game. And then all of a sudden, because it's real foggy, like six penalty flags fly in. And I'm like, what in the world happened? The broadcasters can't tell you what happened because the fog, they can't even see what's going on. So Todd McShay is working the sidelines, and Todd McShay is, yeah, I think he threw a shoe. I just saw a cleat go flying through the fog. I think he just threw a shoe. And I'm like, what? And then the ref goes, the ref actually said, unsportsmanlike conduct, throwing the LSU player's shoe 20 yards downfield. I was like, oh no. And my immediate instinct was like, oh no, this kid, like, at that point, you knew this is not, like, this is, you don't come back from that.
No,
like,
right.
You're losing the game now. Like, dumb things like that don't happen, and oh, Florida won in the end, so no one remembers it. No, unfortunately, when you do something like that, it's just a way sports goes that you're going to lose the game now, and it's all because of you. And that kid's got to be walking around campus, like, you know, because he did in the heat of the moment. I get it. It's, you know, I don't think he's a bad kid. He gets excited. But man, like, you got to feel like the biggest dolt walking around state of knowing. You just lost to a really, really bad LSU team. Had no business even being tied at that point in the game.
Have y'all been to Baton Rouge before?
I have not been to Baton Rouge.
I've only driven across the bridge. I've never, like, hung out there. But I've been to Gainesville's cool. I like Gainesville.
I've been to Gainesville. I've partied with some LSU fans at Georgia LSU game before, but it's not in Baton Rouge. I'm afraid to go.
I've hung out with LSU fans outside of Louisiana, but I've heard they're a great time.
They are.
I think they're a great time there, but I've also been told that I should not go to Baton Rouge. I had a hotel reserved and everything, and a buddy of mine who's an Auburn grad was like, "Do not go." He's like, "Because you think it's funny, you get a couple drinks in you," and he's like, "They'll beat you up. Like 15 of them will come beat you up." Oh, okay.
who's the out of you know, let's just say SEC teams, who's the worst fan base? And by worst, I mean just the meanest. Most
Florida.
Same.
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida.
Same.
No one, you ask any team, like, no one likes Florida. No one says, oh, well, my second favorite team's Florida. I really like the fan, you know, like, no one has a soft spot for
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone, you can be in South Carolina, you can ask somebody Arkansas, and they'll still tell you it's Florida.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just say that because I'm a Georgia fan. I'm saying I don't like Florida. No one likes Florida.
So that I hated Ole Miss fans for a minute because it was like 2010 or 2011, I was living in Birmingham. Ole Miss had some bowl game at Legion Field in Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
And I live downtown, maybe a couple blocks from Work Play Theater, which is like a little music theater venue thing. And I had some friends that worked there, at, like, bartenders and stuff. Ole Miss fans had reserved Work Play as like a post-game party thing or something, and they trashed the whole thing. They trashed it, and there was like, I just heard there was like chicken legs and chicken wings, like, all of, like, they just would, like, and this is secondhand information that I heard this from, but I heard that they would just eat their food, just like, they wouldn't even throw it away. It was just like on the theater floor, just chicken wings. And so every time I, for the longest time, every time I would see an Ole Miss fan, I would think about them just throwing their food on the floor. Maybe they don't actually do that.
I would imagine Georgia is disliked by some fan bases strongly. I can imagine Tennessee Georgia's people fans not are liking annoying. Georgia fans, because there is not all Georgia fans they are always annoying, but talk there about is themselves. A segment of them that's can be very obnoxious. I'm just,
oh, there's a segment of Georgia fans I can't see.
Yeah,
I mean, there's in every fan, and all it takes is like two or three people to ruin your time.
Oh yeah,
Like, I had a terrible experience with South Carolina fans. And my grandfather played at South Carolina.
Oh, really?
And I hated it. They were throwing bottles at us, shaking their keys. My friend almost punched like a 12-year-old because his 12-year-old ran up and it was like, kiss my ass! Like, this little kid just ran out of nowhere. I mean, literally, they're jumping in your face. When you walk out of the stadium, they have, like, kind of like outside the Braves Stadium at Turner Field, where they have those tents set up selling T-shirts and hats. Well, they have, like, a row of that on the way out of the stadium. And we're walking by, and we've just gotten our butts kicked, and they are just in our face. Like, I mean, it was close quarters.
All right,
they were pretty bad. But, I went back again, had a great time.
What was it? About 2009, South Carolina came to Athens and beat Georgia between the hedges. It was somewhere right around there. And
yeah, we won in 2009. It's 2011.
Okay, okay. And they were absolutely miserable that night. I remember that. But because I had a buddy that went, and he was like, oh, it was terrible. It was horrible. but
what,
I kind of get
what
it.
Is an SEC, what's an SEC fan base that y'all think like gets a bad rap, but you're like, I kind of like them. I kind of have a soft spot for those people.
I could dig Ole Miss for mine. A couple reasons. Oh, okay. I think I would like the khakis and the loafers eaten under the chandelier in the Grove.
Oxford, I've heard the Grove's like a cool good time.
Place. Yeah, everybody's been. It said it's awesome.
I watched the Anthony Bourdain special when he went to Oxford, and I've always wanted to go there since I watched that No Reservations.
And Lane Kiffin is a treasure. I don't know if you saw Lane's press conference today, but National Signing Day is coming up on Wednesday, and you know a big thing that the fan base gets into is, hey, are we going to flip any guy like? Are we going to flip anybody that's committed to Alabama, but then oh, he comes and signs with Georgia? Oh. Lane Kiffin goes to a press conference today wearing a Mary Flitmus t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
So apparently he knows somebody that's committed to somewhere else that's actually going to be signing with Ole Miss. So yeah, Lane great. Is just a national treasure. But the look, I get there's like an arrogance.
Yeah, there's and, like and this Southern preppy vibe. I can see you being an Ole Miss fan.
Yeah, Southern preppy kind of thing.
The boat shoes.
So let me. I'll tell you one.
You already have like, the Yeti.
I'll tell you,
you got
one
the nice
that
truck.
You
could totally be an Ole Miss.
I'll tell you one you wouldn't think of. Okay. Kentucky basketball fan.
Oh,
I could be that guy. That's interesting. I could There's a part of me that wishes I was that guy. Like that, my team was so good that I could just look down upon the rest of the SEC with. Angst and hate.
Well, they're looking up at the SEC.
I know, but that's not typical. You know, I mean,
No, listen, you say that, but I've been to basketball games against Kentucky, and they suck. Those fans are terrible.
Oh,
really?
I know they are.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I've known some that were great friends, and they were really good people, but they were obnoxious about their basketball.
Go to a college basketball game against Kentucky, and it will change your opinion of Kentucky. They will be. Like it's pulling against Kentucky basketball is like pulling against the Yankees. Like when Kentucky's playing whoever, I'm pulling for the other team. It could be it'll be Florida.
I'm just saying, like you said, Josh, guys that have a bad rap that I kind of wish we were. That would be mine.
That's a good answer. That's an interesting answer. Mine is and this is just based on personal experience. I'm sure there's outliers, but personal experience and maybe. Maybe my personal experience is the outliers for this particular fan base, okay? But honest to God, y'all, I'm just saying, I've been to Knoxville, and I've never met – I've met quality Tennessee fans. And I just want to, like, eat some apple pie, drink a beer, and just listen to bluegrass.
That was my very first pick before Kentucky.
I don't like their colors. I don't – but I do kind of like the gray on the orange. I could wear that.
I got stuck, and like I seriously gave it thought because I almost went there, Josh. This was almost who I went with instead of being a Kentucky fan.
Okay.
But I could not listen to Rocky Top 4,000 times a game. It's just, it couldn't happen.
I couldn't. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I caught myself singing Rocky Top today, doing nothing, and I'm like, I hate this song. Why is Rocky Top in my head and why am I singing it? We didn't even play Rocky Top. I didn't even watch Tennessee play this weekend. Like, what? Why?
Maybe some of it, too, is deeper than that for me, too. Because so I live, Jay, y'all have been in my house. I live kind of west of Boone, close to the Tennessee line. And so during this whole COVID thing, I go to Tennessee a lot. I go to Sharpies right over the Tennessee line because I can actually sit down and walk in without a mask. I get my hair cut at Newman's Barbershop in downtown Mountain City. So I have this like kind of love for Tennessee right now. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, we went to the Tennessee game and before the game even started, now I'm wearing my red pants with the embroidered G's on them, the Uggas on them, in a Georgia jacket and a polo. And as an olive branch, I'm wearing my Pat Summit Invitational hat that I have.
Oh, classy.
Given to my mom from, Coach Fulmer and Charlie Daniels, actually. So, as a way to extend, I'm not a bad guy. And so this girl walks up to me as we're waiting, and she walks by, and she's like, oh, your pants are ugly. And I was like, well, your face is ugly, but tomorrow I'll have a different pair of pants on. So, and then we sit down in the game, And before, that's a true story. You ask my mother about that. You could ask my mom on Facebook, because she was like, "Damn, that was good." I was like, "Thank you. Don't come after me. Don't try to be a smart ass to me after I've had like 9 Natty Lights. I'm gonna abuse you. Like, you are not on my level, Madison. Get out of here. I'm gonna
woo Chick-fil-A and serve some more tickets.
That mascara is gonna be running, girl." And then we go to sit down, and we're sitting in our seats, and the Tennessee people in front of us look, and they're about to sit down. The wife or girlfriend or sister or whoever was like, "How'd y'all even afford these seats?" Looking at me and my mom. And my mom was like, "Oh, Phil Fulmer gave them to me, actually." She was like, "Oh, okay." Got to shut up after that. That was always it. They weren't too bad. There was actually, we became talking to the guy, and the guy next to us was like, "So where are y'all from?" And he said, "Macon, Georgia." And he was like, "Did the Whoopi still play there?" And I was like, "Oh, I like this guy already," because he knew about the Macon Whoopi. But they were overall pretty nice people, except for, like, you know, you can't let the one or two sour your entire experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
And I have also, like, Coach Fulmer, I've got an autographed football and a picture of me and him. He's such a nice guy, so I don't know. Now, does he cheat in football? Sure. But he's a nice guy.
Yeah, but then again, then you meet people, like, that applauded... Todd Gurley, Nick Chubb, whichever one it was that ripped his knee out at Tennessee.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the game I was at. The Nick Chubb injury.
Yeah,
that was that game.
Oh, okay.
So there's that other side that makes you cringe. But yeah,
yeah.
Fellas, I think we need to talk about this just a moment before we wrap up today's show. We have not had the opportunity to talk about Logan Paul knocking Nate Robinson out, like putting him to sleep like he was a 2-year-old baby. Oh my God.
I was late on this. I didn't even know who, like,
I still don't know who he is.
Yeah, I had to, like, Google it and then watch the Twitter video, and then, like, I found his Twitter, and then I also found out that Logan Paul is now Well, first of all, he's, I think, challenged everybody to a fight, but especially Conor McGregor. So he's challenged him to a fight, and he only follows Conor McGregor's wife on Instagram. That's the only account he follows on Instagram.
But they've actually now booked his next fight, and it's going to be Floyd Money Mayweather against Logan Paul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now,
here's the thing. If Floyd loses this,
I'd watch that.
If Floyd loses this, which there should be no way Floyd loses this, but if somehow magically Floyd loses this, JT, all of boxing will be considered a sham from now on.
Floyd's not going to lose this.
I mean, Floyd, there's no way he can, right?
Too much to gain. Look, when he fought Conor McGregor, I was one of the suckers that paid $100 in Boston. I immediately, as soon as I clicked it, I regretted it. But I felt like I was going to be left out, and I tried to bootleg it, like, on my laptop, didn't find it. I was like, fine, whatever. Deal with it. but it leaked on Twitter beforehand that Floyd, who loves to talk about how much money he wins gambling, he never talks about losses, only talks about his wins, had bet on himself, like, the max amount you can bet, to win, like, the 8th round. He knew, I can just toy with this guy, get people to watch, give them something to entertain them, and then whenever I want to flip the switch, I can end this fight. And that's exactly what it is. Now, Mayweather hadn't knocked out an actual boxer or a male in many years. You know, his biggest knockouts have come, you know, the domestic dispute guy, because he's a trash person. But still, there's a vast difference in the technique and skill. He is one of the most top 3 skillful all-time boxers ever. He's in the Muhammad Ali category as far as being that good. As far as
really? So, I don't know boxing enough.
Like,
to...
from a technical standpoint, really? Dude, he's 50 and up.
Yeah.
I mean, and he does not, you can't, he's defensively, you can't touch him. He is that good. Like, it's like fighting Neo in the Matrix. He's that good. So, yeah, there's always a puncher's chance.
Yeah,
you know?
So
there's a chance I could walk up to Mayweather in a bar. And
but
him
this
the right
is the difference between Conor and Floyd, and I mean Conor and Logan Paul, and that's this, JT. Logan Paul is 6'2", 200. Floyd Mayweather is 5'8", 147.
Yeah, but you know what? After the first round, when he has swung himself out of his shoes and his hands are down here and he is gassed,
maybe
Mayweather's just gonna go.
Yeah, but
is that gonna be like a pay per view kind of fight too?
Oh, I'm sure
they're gonna make. They're both gonna make so much money.
Floyd though has never.
Why do they always make fights pay per view?
Floyd's never been hit by a big man.
How come they make fights? Like you got to pay.
I'm not
like
betting
that
on Logan Paul here. I'm just like talking JT.
Logan Paul's not gonna hit him.
Like, I mean, why don't you have to pay for the Super Bowl, but you got to pay for fights?
Because I don't understand. Boxing can't make money any other way.
If size was all that mattered, then like I should be favored against Floyd Mayweather. I'm bigger than him.
No, but I mean, but like Paul has actually done pretty well. I mean, if you watch that fight against Nate, he obviously cleaned his clock, but he played it. He actually boxed pretty well, even up until he put him to sleep. I mean, it wasn't like he hit him on the second punch and knocked him out. You know, like there was.
I don't think Logan Paul is going to do something that Manny Pacquiao couldn't do.
I don't think he is.
Or that Shane Mosley couldn't do, or that Oscar De La Hoya couldn't do, or that Roy Jones Jr. couldn't do.
So here's the problem. Here's my problem with Floyd Mayweather. He's never beaten anyone that was very good in their prime. And look, this is not a defense of Logan Paul. I think he's going to mop the floor with Logan Paul. I think this is a dumb fight, though, because if Floyd Mayweather loses, it delegitimizes boxing and everything he's done in the last 30 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be rigged.
How old is he? Is he kind of old now?
Yeah, he's like 42.
Mayweather's in his 40. Yeah, Mayweather's in his 40s, which is
old for boxing. Way up there. Yeah. Yeah.
That's way up there. I mean, he's past his prime. I mean, boxing has no stars, and that's the biggest problem. When we were growing up, there were actual big names and heavyweight names. That's the most important thing, is heavyweight names.
Yeah, Floyd's 43.
People don't want to see a 150-pound guy. People want to see something that's larger than life.
Yeah.
And we had Deontay Wilder and what's the guy's name?
Do little boys, I mean, Cliff. Cliff have, so when we were Cliff's age, maybe a little older, I guess, starting at like at maybe age 7 or, you know, ish, we loved Bo Jackson, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And then we also liked tough, scary stuff like Freddy Krueger and Jason.
Terminator.
Yeah. Does Cliff, the boys, like, are they, is there stuff, is there content that's like that now that they get into? Or is
not
it like,
really? I mean, he likes Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Tried to sell
good
on G.I. Joe, but it's a little dated, you know, like the old G.I. Joe cartoon. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So he's kind of out on that. But like, a lot of that came from video games. I knew Bo Jackson because he was the best in Tecmo Bowl. And then Evander Holyfield's Real Deal Boxing on Sega Genesis. That game was awesome.
And then Mike Tyson's Punch.
Punch Out. Every kid had Punch Out. And that's how I wasn't watching Mike Tyson fights. I was 5 years old. But I just knew him from video games and knew he was.
Yeah.
But also, remember back then, we only got glimmers of stuff. We weren't oversaturated with being able to watch any show at any time whenever we wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, we love Ken Griffey Jr. because we only saw him for like 30 seconds a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was like, oh, you had to get more. Now that you can get stuff whenever you want to, it's like, kind of takes the appeal and the fun away from all your, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you don't idolize, like we did when we were growing up, we had actual heroes, because all you had was the poster on the wall and your daydreams, and that's it. Like, I had a poster that
you didn't know their politics.
That shot of Dominique Wilkins in the slam dunk contest, where he is literally, feels like he's 15 feet in the air, I had that poster on my wall.
I did too.
And I could only dream in my head, like, this guy can really fly. Holy cow, he's the greatest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. Like, I didn't have the NBA package, and I see all the terrible games Dominique.
You know what I replaced? You know what I replaced the Dominique poster with? I replaced it with the Spud Webb slam dunk contest, where Spud's like 12 feet off the floor.
That was amazing. Dunking
it, and he's like 4 foot two.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the only thing, the only highlights we saw was what we. Pictures in a Sports Illustrated, if we could find one, and then whatever we dreamed up in our head. You know? So you had to worship your heroes, your sports heroes like that.
But there's another layer. There's like another weird layer, though, that I'm trying to get at. It's like this...
no machismo anymore? There's no...
Yeah, it's like no masculinity. I don't know. Boys, when we were boys, it was like fast cars, babes, fights.
Oh, yeah. Remember when the book fair would come to school and they would have those the car calendars?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It would just be a calendar.
And I would always get in trouble for buying the picture of the Lamborghini that my parents said you were supposed to buy. Yeah. Look, and you bought a poster. What are you doing?
It's a it's a poster of a Testarossa, yeah. And you're just like, yeah, that's cool.
I think I was in middle school, like if you looked at my bedroom in seventh grade, okay, stuff on my wall or like in my room, like I liked Lynyrd Skynyrd, I liked the Eagles, Kathy Ireland, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, and Fast Cars.
Fellas, do you remember? You remember? The Yasmeen Bleeth poster.
I don't remember that. Look up
the Yasmeen Bleeth poster, because that was the poster. I was not allowed to have it on my wall. My dad would not, but my cousin had it on his wall, and I liked visiting my cousin's house because I got to see the Yasmeen Bleeth poster.
He didn't even need tape to stick it on the wall. I had ZZ Top, weirdly enough. That's a weird band for like a six-year-old to like, but my dad got me a ZZ Top poster in school and the Ultimate Warrior and Dominique Wilkins. And then I had the coolest poster. I wish I still had it. It said Quarterback Commandos, and it was a camouflage poster, and it had like eight different little boxes and pictures of different quarterbacks. It had Randall Cunningham for the Eagles and Warren Moon for the Oilers and Bernie Kosar for the Browns and Joe Montana, who was my guy, on there. And it was like, I was like, that would be so cool. And of course, I had the vintage old school NFL helmet bed sheets, you know.
Oh yeah,
with the like the orange Tampa Bay Bucks old logo.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I had Ghostbuster sheets.
There you go. Solid.
Yeah, my pillowcase. It was Slime. Is that his name?
Slimer.
Yeah. And it glowed in the dark.
Nice.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Ghostbusters. I drank nothing but Ecto Cooler for like the entirety of 1990. Was high C Ecto Cooler. That's all I lived on.
Hmm.
Wow. Well, speaking of all lived on, Gus Malzahn is coming to the end of his tenure. He got paid $21 million to no longer be the coach of the Auburn Tigers. I don't know whether to be excited about this, to laugh about it, or to be a little sad because Georgia absolutely dominated Gus Malzahn his entire career. He's got, what, one victory over Georgia? I think
two.
Okay.
I saw some interesting takes about this on the Twitters. I saw a lot of woke writers say things like, we're in a pandemic right now and they just paid him $21 million. You know, it's just so wrong. So, I don't know.
Also, we're in a pandemic, but did you see the new TV deal that they just signed with ESPN that goes into effect in a couple of years? That's where the money comes from.
Yeah, or my favorite thing I watched on TV this week was moments after I heard the news of New York shutting down all their dining, I watched live on CNN, the electors in Cuomo's governor's office, all together inside under the ceiling, vote for Joe Biden. Yeah. So I think it kind of depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And who you are.
Yeah. For sure. And I guess we should wrap. This will be the final thing we talk about, fellas. Sarah Fuller finally got to kick an extra point for the Vanderbilt Commodores. The football team is down to 18 scholarships. And I just want to say, I think it's important that I make this point. I called it. I told you guys that they were going to be totally offended by
you did. You were right. You were right. I was wrong.
By this total publicity stunt.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt's healthy enough to play a senior game for their guys and get a last home game, but suddenly 2 days later, they're back to being so unhealthy that they have to cancel the game against Georgia. So Georgia's seniors don't get a senior day. They only get three home games this year. It's complete crap. It's bogus, and I hope we beat Vandy 150-0 next year. By the way, Sarah Fuller did kick an extra point, and that was really great. But they had another kicker kick a 39-yard
field
goal.
That's what's stupid about
it. And a totally another kicker kick off in the game. So that tells you all you need to know about is she really the best kicker that they had.
So
they just wanted to prove a point just to do it, just to give her.
At this point, we should relegate Vandy to a lower division in football. They should not be allowed to be in the SEC anymore. Only in baseball. And goodbye, Vandy.
I feel, I mean, it sounds silly to feel bad for Sarah Fuller because she's like famous now, but every interview I've seen of her, she's fantastic. She's a sweetheart.
It's not her fault.
She's being totally used. But also, if you want to get really weird too, so I'm on y'all's side about this 100%. It's totally a scam. Not a scam. It's a what do you call it?
PR stunt.
A stunt. Yeah. It's a PR stunt. But like, what if it is a PR stunt? And like, what if? Who cares? What if like Vandy's like, we want to use this to like have an excuse to have a girl kick her for the first time ever?
I'm not mad at it being a PR stunt.
Like, I wish they would just own it. I wish, you know what I mean? Like we're using this as a cool way to get the first girl kicker, like, instead of making it seem like she's qualified, because she's not qualified. Well, she's just
the
not
problem
qualified.
With it is that is the most chauvinistic. I believe what they've done with Sarah Fuller is the most chauvinistic BS that you could do. It is right up there with saying it's like looking at your little kid and gently rolling the ball to him and them kicking the ball into the net and you being like, yay, baby, you're as good as the guy on TV and you're going to be a world famous soccer player. And they're like 3 years old and they kick the ball in the net, you know, like it's disingenuous. And for a 3 year old, that's wonderful. But when she's an adult and you're doing that, if I looked at Josh and said, oh, good job, Josh, you turned on the computer to record a podcast. Good job, Josh. I'm so proud of you. You made it through the whole episode without saying a single cuss word. It's amazing. Like,
on the flip side of this, do you guys know who Jackson He is?
Yes.
Okay. When you did, I didn't know if you did because the media has been kind of silent on this. He's the first Chinese-born player to ever score in a college game.
Yes.
He came to America at 17 years old, played 1 year of high school ball, and he's a walk-on at Arizona State. He's about 5'9", 220. He's a walk-on running back, probably about their fourth or fifth string. They bludgeoned Arizona like 70-7.
And that touchdown run was impressive.
And he got the last touchdown. But that's pretty noteworthy too,
because
they don't play football in China. He came out, he had 1 year of high school ball and is now scoring touchdowns. And
the difference is, you watched him play, you're like, oh, he earned that touchdown. Nobody backed up and let him score.
He's a 5'9", 220 pounds, what he's listed at, pretty solidly built.
And it was a strong run. Guy. You know, I mean, is he the number one starter on the team? Probably not.
No.
But he was very legit. I mean, it was a legit run against a legit defense in the sense of, I mean, they were really hitting him. Like, nobody was backing up out of his way.
To be a walk-on that actually gets meaningful snaps in a game, like not just a walk-on that practices and doesn't actually ever play in a game, you've got to be, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, there's a ton of walk-ons that never suit up on game day.
Yeah.
You know, they're just there to fill out practices.
If I was on scholarship at Vandy, I'd be like, peace, I'm done. Unless you're giving, like, I'll take the scholarship, but I'm not playing football for you anymore.
Just wait. In January, they're voting on, so next month, they're voting on a one-time transfer with no penalty.
Wow.
NCAA, wide across the board. So you just wait.
Yeah.
Now you can transfer, you can get on the transfer portal, and you don't have to sit a year.
Nice.
So it's going to be crazy. So if you want to leave the team you're on, now's your chance.
If by some strange chance you listen to Knock on the Nation for news, first of all, I'm sorry. Secondly, here's a couple of notes to end the show. Playoff expansion nearly apparently confirmed with MLB. That's a little sad. It's going to kind of suck. Currently still no DH. While they almost have playoffs nailed down, I swear baseball figures out a way to mess up everything. And we're going to end it on this note. Josh Brown's going to tell you why the Hall of Fame voting process is the dumbest process in the history of mankind. Thanks for listening. Josh is going to close us out. Have a great week.
Oh, I'm going.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well, I'm a little nervous. Is this mic on? Testing 1, 2. So
you can do it, Josh. So, good job, Josh. Good job. You can do it.
I'm kind of passionate about this right now. I think it's taken me, like, I'm evolved. I'm a reformed, like, baseball Hall of Fame traditionalist, and JT's kind of opened my eyes to some of this. But every year, okay, every year we get on Twitter.com and we slam on these sports writers with their Hall of Fame ballots. I do it every year, right? For years, I dunked on everybody that didn't vote for Fred McGriff. I would dunk on them. I would quote tweet their little pictures of their ballots, and I would say this ballot is a crime dog. Ryan Thibodeau actually blocked me because I did that to a female sports writer for the Associated Press, and apparently that's sexist. Anyways, so I'm with you. I dunk on their shitty ballots every year, but we have to redirect our anger. Why? Because these it's not their fault. So many of these voters don't cover baseball. Let me explain. So the Baseball Hall of Fame relies on the Baseball Writers Association of America, CJT, for their votes. Okay. So the Baseball Writers Association of America is comprised of, I think, about 480 something sports writers. The way you get your voting privileges, okay, 30 years ago would sound legit. You have to cover a baseball beat for, I think, 10 years, and then you get your Baseball Writers Association of America membership, right? What has happened is this. You have a lot of writers who 25, 30 years ago, even 40 years ago, covered baseball. They covered a team, they covered a beat, or they covered for a national newspaper, MLB, right? And they were maybe qualified years ago. What has happened in very, very many cases is they don't cover baseball at all now, or they covered a little bit. There's a guy named Greg Coat that I found on Twitter a few days ago. He writes for the Miami Herald. If you go to his latest writings, he covers the Dolphins, right? So this guy tweets the picture of his ballot. It wasn't the worst ballot, but he didn't have Andrew Jones on there. And the reason he didn't, he just talked about it really flippantly, like Andrew Jones was a crappy player. And you wanted to dunk on him and make fun of him, but you realize like he doesn't know baseball because he doesn't cover baseball, right? So the way baseball voting is set up, it would be like Ken Rosenthal voting for the College Football Hall of Fame, right? That would be crazy, right? Because Ken Rosenthal doesn't cover college football. And if he voted for college football, it would be ridiculous. Well, then I hear the argument, well, then these writers who don't cover baseball anymore, they shouldn't vote. What? Do you expect them not to vote? If somebody gave me access to vote for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or the Jazz Hall of Fame, I would vote. Everybody wants recognition or power or whatever. If they say they don't, they're not human, right? So you give somebody a baseball ballot, they're gonna vote and they're gonna try to make a name for themselves. Even if they haven't covered baseball in years. I mean, and this is very prevalent. 3 years ago, I got into it with a guy who, an old guy, who covers the Detroit Pistons, and his ballot, it was really terrible. He didn't know much about Fred McGriff, it seemed. And at the time, I was just dunking on him, right? Looking back on it, I'm like, it's not his fault. It's the system's fault. It's a broken system. It's been a broken system for a long time. Back in the day, when it first started, maybe it made sense, okay? Back in the day, you got your news from newspapers, okay? You had baseball writers who covered baseball, and maybe they were qualified 70 years ago. It's totally different now. It's a different world. There's too many of them as well. In my opinion, I like JT's idea of it. He changed my thought, my view of it. To me, it should be 20 to 30 people, former players, former managers, former execs. You open it up. You have guys who made an impact in the game. From your Barry Bonds's to like your Josh Hamilton's to your Tim Lincecum's to your Ryan Howard's, you open it up, you make it very much like the Football Hall of Fame. But I think we're years and years away from getting there. So there's my rant.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Options Guy and Spiritual Advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.